It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to another Off the Wall podcast. I am Chris Shan. We will be meeting our co-host, the producer and editor of Off the Wall, the podcast version, Joe Auriemma, in just a bit, otherwise known as the godfather of YesNetwork.com. If you want to get involved with the podcast, as always, our phone number is 646-487-3668. And our email, of course, is offthewall, all one word, at YesNetwork.com. That's offthewall at YesNetwork.com. Now, we're taping a little late in the week, and you could kind of deduce the day. I'll just say it, Friday. Basically, right after Tiger Woods came out with his mea culpa about his transgressions towards his wife, Elin. You know, I've talked about this with my colleagues here at Yes, a couple of them. And, you know, we all agreed, basically, he doesn't have to apologize to me. He doesn't have to apologize to anybody, you know, that we know. He basically has to apologize to his wife. And he's done that. But the thing that angered me today was his animosity towards the media and following his wife and following his mother and following his kids. Hey, Tiger, guess what? You want all the money? You want all the sponsorships? You want all that stuff that comes along with being a celebrity? Guess what? You got to deal with it. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying the paparazzi chasing your two-year-old daughter is right. But ask Britney Spears about the paparazzi and following her kids around. She's died down a little bit. It's because she's not driving with her toddler in her lap when she's doing 80 down, you know, the 5 in California, whatever the hell that route is. I don't know. But the thing is, and we've brought this up before on the podcast, and I'll say it again. It's the line from Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. Tiger Woods has great power. He was probably, when Michael Jordan retired, the world was kind of starved for that next big athlete to take over for Michael Jordan. You know, Jordan was synonymous not only with basketball, but he was synonymous with sports as a whole. You know, Jordan was the ultimate sports figure. And Tiger Woods came in and basically took the world by storm. You know, major after major after major, breathing down the neck of Jack Nicklaus's major record. You know, this is what the great power and all the money and all the sponsors, all that, all comes rolled into one. And, you know, you made the decision. You chose to get married. You chose it. You put the ring on your finger. Okay? And your wife? Listen. Your wife is very easy on the eyes. So, listen, every red-blooded American male, if they had that kind of money and that kind of power, don't tell me for one second that you wouldn't go out, and if women were throwing themselves at you, it would take all of the power and all the willpower in the world to say no. All of it. Think about it, though. All these guys with power, think of presidents. Not to just get on them, but Bill Clinton. Think of him. He was infidelity. I don't think he should have been, you know, raked over the coals for what he did. He wouldn't be the first president who did it. And he's most certainly not going to be the last. Unfortunately, he left some evidence and he got caught. And that snickering laughter you hear is Mr. Oriyama. But that's the thing. So to sit there and yell and scream at the media for trying to follow up on probably the ultimate sports figure, not in the States, not in the Western Hemisphere, in the world. I will guarantee you that when that press conference started, the entire world stopped. I guarantee it. If you Twitter, you know, because everyone on Twitter was tweeting about it, whether they were at work. You heard on SportsCenter that people were in Times Square stopping and looking up at the big TV and watching this press conference. People just stopped. We have terrorism. We have the people in Haiti still going through their stuff. We have Katrina victims still not back to where they were. You know, there's a lot of other things, and we have some guy flying into an IRS building in Texas. Let's not leave that out. There's a lot of stuff happening here. A lot of stuff worldwide. And we are concerned with how many women Tiger Woods slept with. But in true American fashion, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you have money, you can do anything. And all you have to say is, I'm sorry. That's basically it. And I could be funny about this too. And I could say, you know what? This could have gone one of two ways. Tiger could have apologized, which he did. And he's trying to get his career. And he's trying to get his sponsors back. He also, though, could have told Elon to take a hike. Could have gave her half of his money. Kept doing what he was doing. And some other sponsors would have came around. But think about that. If he went either way, what, the PGA wasn't going to take him back? Come on. That's ludicrous. Tiger Woods could have done whatever he wanted to do. And that's what's wrong here. Because ask any other schlub in the country, you don't know it because they're not a celebrity, they're not famous. But there are a lot of people in this country going through the same exact thing, maybe not to the same extent, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 women tops, or maybe it's the other way, maybe it's men. No, women, you do this too. But that's the thing. If you're a regular schlub, you can't say, I'm sorry. As my father used to say, sorry doesn't butter the biscuit. Sorry doesn't walk the dog. Sorry gets you jack squat. And the only person you have to ask is John Bobbitt. We're back with more Off the Wall right after this.
Go to yesnetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Joneses with Kim Jones, The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's yesnetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on yesnetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
She's fantastic, made of plastic. Microchips here and there. She's the small wonder. Brings love and laughter everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast with a little small wonder taking you in right there. That's a tremendous show from the 80s right there, Chris.
Absolutely, and the connotation we're using it for today. I mean, it's timeless.
Yes.
It's timeless because, as we both agreed upon here, Tiger Woods was just he was robotic today.
Yeah.
I mean, he, even when he, you know, I tweeted it. I said, Tiger Woods, great at golf, bad at public speaking. He is just god-awful. I mean, if he wrote this, if these were his words,
right,
as you know, Mike Tirico said they were, someone told Mike Tirico that Tiger wrote it.
I highly doubt that. I'm sure he had a team of people helping him. I'm sure he wrote it, but I think a team of people.
But when you write something, aren't you a little bit more comfortable with it?
Yeah.
And I know there might be some kind of situation where there's nerves, but talking about nerves, I don't want to hear, if he was nervous today, I don't ever want to hear on a back nine of a golf tournament when he puts his red shirt on that Tiger Woods has ice in his veins. No, he's nervous.
No, I agree. He's a human being.
He's a human being.
And if this press conference showed us anything, was that he is a human being.
He is, and he makes mistakes. But up until this point in his life, mm-hmm, before this even came out, he was making mistakes.
Right.
I mean, he said, quote, in his press conference that he has to apologize for parents and kids who looked up to him and looked at him as a role model. Listen, if my daughter was old enough to look up to somebody, it's not Tiger Woods. I don't want my daughter running around the house, throwing a club, cursing every 5 seconds, and acting like a baby when she's in her 30s. That's the last thing I want my child to grow up and be. And Tiger, guess what? That's what you are.
It's funny.
That's what you are.
It's funny you bring that up because Tom Watson, one of the greatest golfers in the history of the game, he brought that up finally. He has mentioned it twice now since, you know, this whole Tiger incident has happened. And the thing I really like about Tom Watson is that he made it known that he's tried to tell Tiger in the past and Tiger didn't want to hear any of it. And now Tiger is basically in a position where he can't, like, tearing anyone down, any advice from anyone at this point. Tom Watson is a guy that you can look up to because this is a 60-something-year-old man that almost won the British Open last year, and he's trying to tell Tiger Woods, you know, you're not acting like a gentleman now.
See, and public opinion and professional opinion is that this Tiger is going to change his stripes. I don't see it happening. Maybe with his wife, yeah, and maybe with the, you know, philandering ways that he, you know, maybe he changes that, but I still think he is going to be an absolute pain in the you-know-what on the golf course. I mean, I understand when...
That's the way he plays.
I understand, right, when he's in his backswing and somebody's snapping pictures. I could see how that could drive you nuts. When I play golf, I'm like Happy Gilmore. I encourage people to make noise. I mean, I can't have it deadly quiet because then if a bird farts, what am I going to do? Go over there with the golf club and kill the bird? But the analogy I was thinking of in the car that instantaneously made me think of you is from the movie Tropic Thunder.
Great movie.
Okay. I hated it when I saw it in the theaters. And every time it was on, you know, HBO, mm-hmm, I watched it. And I laughed harder every time I watched it. It was kind of like Austin Powers, because I hated that the first time I saw it. But then,
I've always said the same thing about Anchorman and Step Brothers.
Yeah,
as well.
Those two. The more you watch
them,
Will Ferrell's like a fungus, but a good one. The more he grows on you, the better it is. But this is kind of like where I see Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, I see, is like Damien Cockburn. Okay, he's the director. He's this, like, hotshot young director, mm-hmm, brought in to do this huge movie. But what Tiger Woods doesn't have in his life is a Lee Grossman. He doesn't have somebody to say, who's a grip? Go over and punch that director right in the face. That's what Tiger Woods needs.
Yeah, he does.
He
needs Tom Cruise in his life.
It just needs to be. He was great in that.
Yeah,
say what you want about Tom Cruise, but that character was
He needs the
awesome
character in his life. He doesn't need, nobody needs Tom Cruise.
No. He needs, that's why I said Lee Grossman. He needs a Lee Grossman in his life to say, who here's a big burly caddy? Go punch that golfer in the face. With a couple of choice expletives in there. He needs a wake-up call.
Yeah, he does.
He is not God. I don't care what, I mean, the thing he's right about in this press conference, Joe, and I don't know how you stand on this, but mm-hmm, what happens now between him and his wife, I don't want to know about it. It's none of my business. They work it out. If she wants to stay with him, hey, God bless her. I mean, she knows where her bread is buttered. If she left him, she's getting $300 million. If she stays, she's going to keep getting money anyway. So in her view, I mean, look.
It's
she looks a little stupid by staying with him. We're not talking about just, you know, one little affair.
No. This is,
we're talking about an entire
14,
golf
17.
Course. You do the addition and come up with the
Tiger. Oh, I'm not even going to go.
Yeah,
there.
I mean,
he played the full course.
Use your imagination. Use your imagination. You can come up with all the golf innuendo there.
Oh, God.
But the thing is, whatever happens with him and his wife,
mm-hmm.
like he said, is their business. And I understand that.
Right.
That I'm completely in agreement with. I don't want to know about his sordid affairs. I don't want to know, you know, what he did with this one.
No, I don't either.
That one.
Yeah.
I don't want to know what him and Elon say behind closed doors. If she wants to work it out, God bless her. You know what? That's that.
That's their life. Right.
But as far as, you know, the media presence, listen, Andy Pettit had some questions to answer. Alex Rodriguez had some questions to answer. The HGH and the steroids. Did Andy Pettit or Alex Rodriguez come out in a controlled environment with just friends and not take questions?
No, they opened up to the whole media.
Andy Pettit and Alex Rodriguez manned up.
Absolutely.
We were both there.
We were there.
We were there for both.
I know. It's funny because this isn't just an issue of his extramarital affairs. He actually brought up at one point the talk of human growth hormone and performance-enhancing drugs that people have brought up since this whole thing has burst on the scene. And I'm sure one of the golf writers was going to ask him about it, and he needed to answer.
And it's interesting you should bring up the golf writers. The Golf Writers Association boycotted the press conference because, you know what? It really wasn't a press conference because at a press conference, you take questions.
Right.
This was a statement.
No,
you're
right.
This is something he could have posted on his website, but he had to show his face so everybody could say, oh, he came out and he was so contrite and, oh, he was so apologetic. He was like a robot.
He was, yeah.
And, you know, it almost seemed like he was trying to make himself cry. Now, I don't know about you, but if I did something like this to embarrass my family, I'm not ashamed to say I'd be Niagara Falls. I would open my mouth and I would instantaneously, I would have to control myself
yeah.
to start speaking again. Him, he's just like, and nothing ever happened.
No, he went up there, he stood at the podium, he read his 13-minute speech. 9 minutes in, the face on camera, the head on camera, you know, went out, which, you know, kind of changed the speech a little bit because he wanted to speak directly to his audience, and then we got this profile of him. And then with that profile camera, we see him hugging his mother and kissing his mother. And
you know the conspiracy theorists will start talking to.
Yeah.
Oh, someone must have tripped over the
yeah,
cord.
Yeah, exactly. but my whole thing is that you're right. I mean, it should have been more of an intimate one-on-one with his audience. To me, I agree with you on if he was going to do this, he should have just sat in front of a camera and told the Oval Office. Right. Right.
Like the president does. Don't bring your close friends
in. If the media is not going to be there to ask the pertinent questions, then what do I need to see
right.
Jack
Never,
Black in the second row, which he wasn't there.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing
Never
that out there.
In my life have I seen an act of contrition like this, and it was a invite only.
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
And you brought
up
Clinton.
Life.
Clinton, when he apologized to America, and he, you know, he answered his questions.
In the Oval Office.
But he answered his questions later in press conferences. But he said, I will answer every question in due time. But I did have extramarital affair, you know.
And that impeachment was just ridiculous. I mean, the Republicans were just looking for anything. I don't want to get political, and I don't want to, you know. You know where I stand, and you know for this to come out of my mouth is difficult, but it was just, it was a witch hunt. I mean, come on. You're a politician, and you're going to get on somebody? Excuse me. Open your closet.
That's what I was just going to say. Bill Clinton could have went into the Senate and said,
oh, God.
All 100, stand
yes,
up.
Yes,
tell me about your discretion.
Yes, yes, yes. So, without getting into a political discussion, which we won't, I mean, it's just, it's ludicrous, it's asinine. Listen, Tiger Woods has a ton of money. He not only is the best he is the best golfer in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He was the most recognizable athlete on the planet. Besides maybe Derek Jeter, I don't want to shortchange him. And besides maybe Roger Federer, the three guys who do those Gillette commercials.
And maybe Kobe Bryant.
And
too.
Kobe. I mean, but as far as like popularity and domination of a sport, you know, Kobe has teammates. Jeter has teammates.
Right.
Federer and Woods do everything by themselves. Without the, you know, I don't want to lose a coach or a caddy or whatever. But for the most part, they're out there by themselves.
It's an individual sport.
Right.
Yeah.
And this, he has to understand. He can't, See, the thing that got me upset was that he got PO'd at the media for covering it the way they did. Well, guess what? If you want all the positive stuff,
right,
you're going to have to deal with the negative stuff.
The thing that he said in his, you know, in his in his press conference was that, you know, I've always been a private person, but you're a public figure. That's the difference.
Yeah.
And you know what? You can get mad all you want, but that's their job to cover you because you are a public figure. You are no longer a private citizen.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Tiger. But you have, you know, I'm sorry that you have to deal with, you know, paparazzi following your daughter to school or whatever the heck they were doing.
He brought that onto them. Shame on him for blaming the media for following his daughter. Because guess what? If he didn't do this and he didn't have these indiscretions, I got news for you, Tiger. No one's following your mother. No one's following your wife. And no one's following your daughter. They might snap a few pictures of your wife and daughter,
and it would
but
be...
they're not going to be tailgating them, trying to figure out where the hell you are. It all comes back to you.
My whole thing is, he's been doing this for God knows how long. And the media has never even written one word about everything that was going on in his private life. So you know what? For years and years and years and years, since this guy was 18 years old, Tiger Woods has not... has not had any private family coverage of his private life. And he is a public figure. He's gone up to this point. And a stupid car accident where Elon, he supposedly didn't beat him up, but the whole that whole thing opened up Pandora's box. So for you to blame the media is, to me, is asinine. Because like you said, for years and years and years and years, Chris, this guy didn't have to worry about anything. And the only thing the media did with him
was put him up more.
Put him up on a pedestal and make his Tiger Woods name brand global, like we said. But now, because of his transgressions and everything that he's done, and because of this incident, well, he's the one that opened this up to himself. And you're absolutely right on that point.
And I've got news for him. This isn't going to... It might go away with fans. And fans, because we are the sheep. You know what? Everybody, you know, everybody gets mad. But then maybe 2-3 months down the line when he shows up at the Masters in April, and I don't think he's going to miss that, to tell you the truth. He said he doesn't know when he's coming back to golf, but I can guarantee to you he will be at the Masters.
Yeah.
Fans, he might get a mixed reception, but in a couple years, fans are going to forget. I'll tell you who's not going to forget. The media. Because he put the media through so much crap before this. It was impossible to get a soundbite unless he won. And all this stuff, all this negativity that the media had to just cower behind and just give him everything he wanted because he was Tiger Woods and he had that global name.
Right.
I think that the script gets flipped there.
And that's my point. My point is he shunned the media so much with not answering questions and not, you know, not giving, you know, a lot of one-on-one interviews for all those years. But you know what? The media members could have easily dug up this story and easily dug up everything that this guy has done negatively in his life, yet they still stayed away from it. They still stayed away. It was Tiger that brought this on
himself. He did. It was Tiger Woods who did this to himself. So shame on him for blaming the media for doing anything.
As for the speech that he gave, I do feel like he, you know, look, he did come off like a robot. A lot of these major athletes do because they're programmed. I mean, they've been programmed since they're 16 years old to give the answers that everybody wants to hear. However, I did feel that there were certain points that, you know, he definitely felt, you could see he felt remorse. He felt bad about what he had done. And, you know, maybe he really, you know, is passionate about wanting to get to a point where he's going to be better in his life. But by the same token, it's those are words. I want to see what he actually does.
Well, one more thing before we move on to the Yankees, and that's the fact that, you know, I'm in the boat. I don't know what boat you're in, but I'm in the boat where, and this might be a touchy subject for some people, but everyone has sex, okay? Everyone does. So I don't really see. I know he's married and he had sex out of wedlock, but to me, getting help, I mean, what is getting help for sex? I mean, I don't even know what it is to be addicted to sex.
Ask Steve Phillips. He went on the Today Show.
Well,
didn't he have an affair with Todd Hundley?
Somebody get me the Bill of Rights because I am pleading the fifth.
Oh boy.
But on that one. But my point is, I just don't understand. I think it's an excuse. I think it's a retreat. I think this thing in Mississippi where they are or where they go is just an excuse for them to use to say they're getting help.
I'll tell you this. I got news for you. I wish I had come up with the idea of a sex rehab clinic. Well, I really do. You make millions of dollars because all of these athletes that have these problems with having too much sex and using that as an excuse, well, I need to go to sex rehab. I wish I had thought of the idea. That's a multi-million dollar, if not a billion dollar idea.
Well, and this all comes back to, of course, Derek Sanderson Jeter, probably the smartest athlete on the face
of
the planet. What have you heard from Derek Jeter?
Nothing. You know what?
He might have went out and he might have partied. He was a kid. He probably went out. He probably partied. He won a World Series his rookie season, the first full year he was with the Yankees.
Never a peep.
What has ever transpired wrong with Derek Jeter?
Yeah.
It's how you run your life. And now he's in a committed relationship with Micah Kelly, and the rumors are they're planning to get married. And guess what? He's almost at the end of his career. He got it all out of his system. He did the right thing.
Yeah.
That should be the outline for an athlete.
I agree.
It should be. I'm sorry, but Mr. Jeter did it right. Tiger, you did it wrong.
And my retort to that is a lot of times, you know, a lot of these athletes could follow the path that Derek Jeter went on, but a lot of times they don't want to because they want the attention.
And there you go.
And that's all I have to say.
All right. When we come back, we will talk about Senor Capitan and his New York Yankees. That's in our last segment of the Off the Wall podcast, and it's coming up right after this.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at YesNetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports-related for Chris at 646-487-3668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
Brian, can I see that paper for a sec? Huh, that's odd. I thought that would be big news.
You thought what would be big news?
Well, there seems to be an absence of a certain ornithological piece. A headline regarding mass awareness of a certain avian variety.
What are you talking about?
Oh, have you not heard? It was my understanding that everyone had heard.
Heard what?
Brian, don't!
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I'm Chris Sheeran. That's Joe Auriemma, the godfather of YesNetwork.com. And now, yes, the bird is the word, by the way.
Yes, the bird is, in fact, the word. You know, 1 in 5 people don't know that.
Brian, haven't you heard?
That the bird is, in fact, the word.
No, Brian, don't!
Great.
Great
segment.
I mean,
Family
it was,
Guy's
it was It was annoying but amazing. YouTube it at the same... YouTube it. Family Guy, bird is the word. If you haven't seen it, trust me, you'll thank us. Anyway, it's time to talk a little Yankees as we try to keep the mood light here after a very segments full of Tiger Woods, if I could learn to speak English. Anyway, March 2nd through the 12th, Joe and I and Kevin Sullivan will be down in Tampa. Every angle we can cover the Yankees from, we'll get interviews, we'll get stories.
Game coverage.
We'll do
live and blogs like we did last year.
We'll do off-the-wall podcasts every day.
Diamond Daily every day.
They're not going to be as long as this, but you get the picture. If something happens with the Yankees, all you have to do is go to YesNetwork.com.
And like you said, we'll get the pulse of everything going on down there, including not just from players, but from
the
beat writers.
Yeah. Exactly. We've made some friends. Joe has more than I do, but I've made some friends too. So now, you know, this is going to be my third year down there. It's going to be a little bit more comfortable for me.
And we're going to be bringing you opposing players as well. That's another thing.
Yes. And, you know, we go down there on the 2nd and games start on the 3rd. So I would assume we're going to be covering the games as well.
That's, yeah, we're going to cover in the morning, get the interviews,
right,
and then cover the games.
And then cover the games. So we'll have live blogs during the game. So if the game isn't on Yes, which I mean, there's a couple that won't be, but if the game isn't on Yes from the 2nd to the 12th, make sure you come to yesnetwork.com. Joe and I will both have our own little, you know, slant on what's going on. So that's going to be fun. A fun 10 days down in Tampa for us. And then we'll come back up here, and once we hit the ground on the 12th, it's going to be nothing. I mean, I'll still have Nets to do, but, you know, it's
batting practice for you.
March 13th, it starts. Yeah. I mean, the goatee comes off. You know, I'm going to leave it on until we get down there.
I was just going to say, you probably have to get rid of it.
Probably Wednesday, March 3rd, when we show up at the spring training facility, George M. Steinbrenner Field, the goatee will be...
It's funny because all of last year, I had the goatee and you didn't.
And now you're without
it. And now I'm
sans goatee.
Yeah,
but then when baseball starts, you'll probably grow it back just so I get upset at you.
My wife is adamant about the non-goatee.
Oh, okay.
She said, you look younger. Okay, I'll take it.
I look older without it. Anyway, whatever. We're not talking about ourselves here. Let's talk about the Yankees. Now, a couple things we just wanted to touch on. First and foremost is Jabba and Phil Hughes competing for that fifth and final rotation spot. But the thing...
Yeah, I mean, Girardi also said that Godin, Mitre, and Aceves were in it. But you have to figure it's going to be either one of the Jabba.
Listen, the Yankees are very deep at starting pitching.
Yeah.
You know, Aceves can be a starter. Godin obviously can be a starter. He had a couple spot starts for the Yankees last year.
Mm-hmm.
Sergio Mitre did the same thing. Mitre has come into camp a lot more healthier. Let's not forget he was coming off Tommy John last year when the Yankees picked him up. So he should be stronger.
And a Joe Girardi favorite.
Right.
They had him in Florida, yeah.
So the Yankees are very deep. So dare I say, I mean, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but if Jabba and Phil don't really impress, one of them is, maybe even both as a starter in spring training, but if one of them or both of them don't and they head to the bullpen, and one of these guys is the number five. Listen, if you have those top four stay healthy, if you have CC, AJ, Andy Pettit, and Javier Vasquez stay healthy, those top four, I could pitch in the fifth role.
I mean, the Yankees essentially did it with three pitchers last year. Three top flight pitchers.
Yeah, you know.
To win a World Series. So,
you
know, like I said, this is a good problem for the Yankees to have.
Right. You just have to stay healthy in those top three.
The Mets would love to have this problem.
Exactly.
They don't. The Yankees' number four starter really could be the number two on the Mets right now. So, I mean, this is a great problem for the Yankees to have. Even if Hughes wins the fifth spot, you don't figure that he's going to really pitch in that fifth spot all year. I'm sure there's going to be chances for Godin and Aceves and Mitre. And my whole thing is if Jabba goes back to the bullpen, keep him in the bullpen. That's always been my thing on it, my take on it. You know, I side with Jim Cott, who he agrees with me, and, you know, who better to take than a borderline Hall of Famer like Jim Cott and his opinion on the game of baseball. John Flaherty agrees with it. But there are a lot of bloggers out there that think I'm nuts and think everybody else is nuts when we say that.
I'll take Flash and Cott's word over some blogger out there who probably never picked up a baseball in their life. But anyway, you're also talking to somebody who still plays competitively. So, granted, it's 28 and over league. Whatever.
Yeah.
I still play every Sunday. But anyway, the Yankees pretty much, besides last year, are so set up with starters, barring injuries in spring training. I don't really remember them being this deep at that position.
I think you got to go back to 98, right?
I mean, think about it. If everybody stays healthy, the Yankees could even make a trade. Not that maybe Cashman would want to do that, but I don't think Godin, Aceves, and Mitre, you know, one of those three or two of them, now one of them will be in the bullpen as a long man. But I don't think the other two are going to be content to play for, you know, AAA all season and wait for an injury.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if they have strong outings. They might not be strong enough to make the Yankee starting rotation, but, you know, another team might have an injury. They might have a need, and the Yankees have some bargaining chips here. So they are pretty much set when it comes to pitching. As far as the lineup goes, now, I've been reading, if you want your fingers on the pulse of the Yankees, you really have to buy the New York Post, and you really have to read Joel Sherman. George King as well. I mean, these guys are down there. They've been covering this team for, you know, God knows how long.
Yeah.
They know a lot of people within the organization that give them a lot of inside information, and they really know, like, if you look at the inside of a machine and you see the inner workings, you just see them. Guys like George King and Joel Sherman see them and know how they work. I mean, they could basically take it apart and put it back together.
Yeah.
So if you're a Yankee fan and you want to be well-versed and you want to be knowledgeable, instead of just talking out of, you know, the thing that you sit on, you read Joel Sherman and you read George King. Having said that.
And our friend Tyler Kepner.
Kepner with the Times.
Very good. And
yes.
Mark Carrig with the Star Ledger.
Yeah, yeah.
He's very good. All these guys.
All the beat writers are good. But yeah. I've been reading a lot of Sherman lately. And you know what? He brought up a very good point. He talked with Joe Girardi. And the thing we were talking about with the lineup that, you know, Curtis Granderson is not good against left-handed pitching. But with Curtis Granderson and Nick Johnson, who is good against lefties, Joe Girardi is going to have this flexibility in this lineup. Against righties, he could bat Granderson second.
True.
Against lefties, he could bat Nick Johnson second.
Right.
You know, I know Johnson has his problems with injuries, but if these guys stay healthy, Girardi, I mean, this is basically, everybody's upset, at least on Twitter, about the Yankees not spending any money. First of all, they spent $205 million. Okay? So relax with that.
And the other thing is, Chris, they offered Johnny Damon the best contract offer that he's gotten all offseason.
We've talked about this ad nauseum.
I know.
Johnny's a great guy, but Johnny screwed up. I mean, if the New York Yankees are not going to give you $13 million a year, which is what he wanted, who's going to give it to you? Who?
I agree.
All the owls in the room? Who? Seriously. Who is going to give this guy $13 million a year if the New York Yankees aren't going to? He should have saw that offer on the table and said,
suck it up.
Wow, times must be tough. The Yankees are only offering me this. I'm probably not going to get, maybe I can get this for a year with somebody else, but no one's going to give me 2 years at $7 million.
It was his and Scott Boras. It was both of their...
Put it this way.
They should have went back to the Yankees and said, listen.
They rolled the dice and they crapped out.
We're looking at a 2-year, $26 million deal, but we're willing to work here. Is there any more that you can give us other than 214? I'm sure if the Yankees came in with 217, something like that, something could have been worked out. But it was a pride thing, and it was a Scott Boras,
and I understand,
you know,
that
trying to play
to
chicken.
An extent. You know, Damon is looking at coming off a great season, thinking that he deserved to get paid. And listen, he did, but the Yankees took the tact of, listen, this guy's going to be 37.
He's not playing a premium position anymore.
When opening day starts, he's not playing a premium position. His calves, from what I hear through the grapevine, the Yankees had to work on him constantly through the playoffs with his calves. And I also heard this, if there was a game 7, he wouldn't have played. So these are the things the Yankees are taking into consideration. Now, we talked about this, and I don't want to go too far into Damon because we've talked about this already,
right,
like I said. But the one thing you have to understand is this. Lifelong Yankees, from the minors up, took substantial pay cuts to put the pinstripes back on. Bernie Williams and Andy Pettit. And that's all you have to understand. That's all you have to look at.
It's true.
Johnny Damon was a good Yankee. A great Yankee. If you look at his numbers, he was productive every season. Every season. I mean, compositely, yes. You look at the numbers, maybe when the Yankees needed a big hit. I'm not talking about last year because he had a lot of big hits last year. And he had a lot of heads-up plays, especially in the World Series.
Oh,
talk about that steal forever. That double steal. But the Yankees are taking the tack that there's a lot of good free agents out there next year. They didn't want to go nutso with free agents this year. And you know what? They saved some money. And they're still at the top of the American League.
Not only that, but
that's what people don't understand.
They're still on the top of baseball. They're going to go into this season as the odds-on favorite to win the World Series again.
Absolutely. And that's what you have to hang your hat on, is that not only did this team maybe stay parallel to the team of last year, they may have gotten a little better. And that's not a knock on Damon, and it's not a knock on Matsui. I'm just saying the pitching staff got stronger.
They got younger and they have better defensive players.
Exactly. Their outfield, name me another outfield in the entire major leagues that can cover ground like the Yankees outfield is going to be able to do.
And
name me another
one. And provide pop that two of the outfielders last year combined, if you count Granderson's 30 and Swisher's 29, combined for 59 home runs.
Yeah. And Granderson, if he sees some pitches, which he will if he bats second, if he bats around Jeter and Tex.
If he bats later in the lineup, he's going to see pitches. This lineup is just, it's one guy after another. It's just...
Yankee fans, especially you Yankee fans on Twitter, when you lay your little heads on your beds at night, you should have sweet dreams. And nothing but sweet dreams. Now, if injuries start piling up, then we'll talk. But until then, until the first pitch is thrown in spring training, relax. You just won a World Series. Enjoy that still. And you have 2010 to look forward to. And you have probably another playoff run to look forward to.
Well said.
And all right.
I just want to promote a couple things. First and foremost, look for our blogs, the Off the Wall blog, and Meet at the Bat. Also, March 2nd through the 12th, we talked about it. We're going to be down in spring training. The best coverage on the web is going to be right here on YesNetwork.com with videos and blogs and podcasts and everything you could possibly want from spring training coverage. We're going to give you, we're going to be that daily presence you're looking for 10 days. Also, this week for Media Week and, you know, everything else going on down there from starting today, which is Friday, till next Saturday, one of our producers here at the Yes Network, EJ Gentile, is down in spring training with Jared Boshnak, and they're doing our player interviews. You know how they sit all the players down and ask them, you know,
little bio blasts
and questions and get full features from these guys. EJ will be providing photos for us, a little behind the scenes. He'll be sending us, some information about what's going on down there. Possibly, if there's any breaking news, he's going to email me right away. And also, he's going to be taking his flip video, and he's going to be taking some behind the scenes video for us. And we're going to be posting it on the web over
That's
the next
awesome.
Week. So we've got a lot of coverage over the next couple of weeks.
Flip video, one of the best inventions ever.
That's great.
Ever.
It's really great.
Anyway, I just wanted to send a quick shout out to John Hudson. He's an avid listener of the podcast. John, just to prove to you that all the kind words are appreciated, I'm sending you a shout out. It's always nice to hear some feedback, whether it be positive or negative. I just like the fact that people are tuning in, giving us a shot. Joe and I work very hard, and we put the very best we have into these podcasts that we do for you every week. We really hope you enjoy them. If you have any questions or comments, don't forget, you don't have to write an email to us just to be on the podcast. You could write an email, question, or comment, you know, about the podcast, what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to see added. We'll listen. I mean, this is for you guys as much as it is for us. This just gives us an opportunity to, you know, stand on a soapbox that we really wouldn't have the chance to do otherwise. So we've been doing this since late July when everybody was basically... you know, saying the Yankees had no shot. And from the first day we did this, the Yankees entered first place and they never left first place. Not patting ourselves on the back. But since that day, the Yankees have done nothing but good things. So for Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Sheeran. And once again, thanks for checking us out here on the Off the Wall podcast on YesNetwork.com. We will see you next week, 1 week away. It'll be a couple days next week when we tape this before we head out to Tampa and spring training for 10 days with your Bronx Bombers. Until next week, we'll see you next time. When the world is on your shoulder, gotta straighten up your act and boogie down. If you can't hang with the feeling, then there ain't no room for you in this part of town. Cause with the Medicine, the music get to you, like it's so bad at all.
the wall. Right place,